everyone. Here we are once again with another episode of the podcast. This week, I interview Carlos Medina. And if you live in the desert Southwest, you've absolutely heard about this multi-talented and incredibly creative human being. Besides for being an actor, as well as a mariachi player, Carlos is also a comedian who regularly performs at the Jean Cocteau Theater here in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Carlos's story is a little bit like a fairy tale, and as we were having the discussion, I kind of thought, oh my gosh, his whole story is full of magic, I swear. A series of incredible encounters has led Carlos to where he is today. With an incredibly popular YouTube channel, his comedic characters are hilarious, with regular gigs all over the desert Southwest for he and his mariachi trio, and with regular work in the movies. On the Treasures page of the website, there will be a link to a collaboration between Carlos and Meow Wolf. For one of Carlos's songs, he and Meow Wolf created a music video that is hilarious, enchanting, and I also think slightly demented. If you get a chance, please be sure to check it out because I think it'll give you an idea of just who Carlos is and just how incredibly talented the folks at Meow Wolf are. I enjoyed my conversation with Carlos because honestly, he's been on my get list for forever. And so when he agreed to sit down and talk to me, I couldn't even believe my luck. So now, episode 118 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
Just recently, my girlfriend and I stayed at a Airbnb in Nashville, and we slept in the loft. And around 2 o'clock in the morning, we both distinctly heard footsteps. Like, just you could not deny they were footsteps. And I turned to her and I said, "Did you hear that?" And she's like, "Yes. What is it?" Well, I would introduce myself by, of course, stating my name, Carlos Medina. And like always, we tend to pay homage to what we do and where we do it and why we do it. So I'm a musician, singer, songwriter, actor, comedian, writer, and artist. And, you know, that's kind of the superficial stuff, but if you went in a little deeper, I guess I would say I'm a son, a brother, an uncle. And then way deep, I had the privilege of growing up in a family where, you know, early on, I was taught that, you know, beyond what we do or what we look like, that I'm a child of God. And, you know, I'm equipped with talents, the ability to create my own opportunities. And, you know, I discovered that reading is super powerful early on in life. I remember making the transition from learning to read to reading to learn, and how empowering that was, you know, just as a human being to, you know, be able to learn from other people's trials and errors and mistakes. And then, you know, realizing that I do have a purpose on earth. Sometimes it's clear, sometimes it's not so clear. But I am, you know, I'm aware that I'm here for a purpose. And the sooner you can determine what that is, the easier life is, for sure. I do understand that I, you know, regardless of my race or color or orientation or whatever, I do acknowledge that, you know, I grew up super privileged, considering that for all it's worth, you know, we did grow up pretty, you know, rather poor, but it's all relative. You know, I had the privilege of two-parent home for my entire life growing up. I never really wondered, you know, how I was going to feed myself or survive. I just always knew that I had abilities that people would be willing to pay money for. And then later on, I realized that, you know, well, talent is also pretty valuable. For the last more than 20 years, I've been a full-time entertainer. It's a super privileged position to be in. My desire is to use that platform to, you know, help other musicians and just to help people in general as much as I can.
I have to ask, when you were a kid, what did you want to be?
I always wanted to be what I am, a musician, an entertainer, you know, just something where I could use my talents. And, you know, that voyage or that journey started about age 7. Yeah, I just, you know, along the line, you know, I had to do things that maybe I didn't want to do. Like, I didn't necessarily want to have some of the jobs I had, but nonetheless, it was part of the journey, and it's all part of, you know, becoming who you are. And today I'm grateful for even the jobs I didn't want, or the, you know, the periods where, you know, I just had to do what I had to do, whether it was picking cans and selling them picking grapes at a vineyard for 2 days because it paid $50 a day. Yeah.
Now, I have to say, I've had the great privilege of seeing you perform at Meow Wolf, and it was just the most spectacular show. There was mariachi, and then you came out and you did a comedy show. And I had never seen anything like that. I mean, I just didn't understand that those two things could be together. But you married them so well. How did that come about?
Well, the way the best things happen, by accident. Something that happened quite on its own. If I think about it, really, the moment that the comedy came to be was I had been performing pretty much full time with my trio, which is, you know, an acoustic. It's a trio, three guys, acoustic music. We had gotten hired to do a wedding, and usually what we would do is during the wedding, we would play for either the ceremony or the reception, and then a band shows up and does the dance part. Well, this particular wedding, we played the ceremony at the church, and then we ended up at the venue where they had their dinner, and we're strolling through dinner, and I kept noticing the bride was on the phone, like walking back and forth, and you know, quickly realized that she was talking to whatever band she had hired. And I don't know what happened, but the band didn't show up. She was a little bit concerned, you know, it was her big day and basically no band. So I started talking to some of the people in the wedding party, and I said, look, maybe I can help. I have a friend that lives close by that's a drummer. You know, maybe we can find a sound system, and, you know, so long story longer, we ended up calling my friend who's a drummer, and he's like, yeah, I'm available. You know, I'd be willing to play. And, you know, a couple of other people were like, well, you know, we know somebody with a sound system. So that day, basically my conjunto band was born. And then we played the wedding and everything went well. So from that point on, now we were kind of like the full meal deal now. You know, we could play for your wedding ceremony, your reception, and then your dance. That led to a decision for me to, maybe I should record music with my dance band now, because I had, you know, three CDs with my trio. So I did. Finally, the day came where I was done. Like, we recorded it. I mixed it. This is all done at home. It's all DIY. So cool. You know, I'm done with this big project. And so the next day I woke up and I didn't really have, I had dedicated so much time to that project that now it's done. So I was kind of just there, you know, going through the motions. And I decided to hit record and just record whatever came to me. And that was the first skit that led to be to my comedy. It was a skit between two voices in my head. One I named Donamic and one I named Graviel. I entitled that, "What Are You Doing?" So I uploaded that to YouTube. You know, maybe 50 people responded to it. And then like 2 days later, like 500. And then like thousands of people just started sharing it. So I uploaded a second skit. And by the third and fourth, I realized, well, you know, this is something. And so that happened for a long, you know, for at least 2-3 years. For several years, nobody knew that I was the same person, the two original voices on YouTube and the guy that sang and played at your wedding, until one day I was at a show and I decided, well, I'm gonna do a little bit of comedy. And you know, that's really when I realized, well, this is what I was meant to do.
I have to tell you that you have been on my get list for a while, just because I loved that show at Meow Wolf. And then, of course, you and I also have another good friend, Nora. And
yes,
I saw Nora in that movie you were both in, El Diablo Más Sabe, I think is what it was called.
The devil knows more,
Yes, and that was, I loved it, by the way. I thought y'all did an incredible job on that movie. It was just so fun to watch both of you in that movie. And you're doing a lot of acting. And when we had our meeting last week, you sat down and you showed me a little bit. But right now, you know, you're also doing things to help people. And one of your projects is with the state. Can you describe that project a little bit?
So I've always been very politically engaged. 6 years ago or 5 years ago, I was involved in the gubernatorial campaign for a really good friend of mine, who is our current governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham. And when she was elected governor, she asked me to serve on the New Mexico Music Commission. And so I agreed, and it's been quite an education. You know, I never to this point in my life, I had never dealt with state government, with procedures and procurement and everything that goes with that. But it's been a great experience. I've learned a lot. I've made a lot of great friends. And when I was appointed chair, was what is known in state government as an unfunded mandate. So basically, it's this commission that existed, but it had no budget. When I came in, I kind of looked at the commission like, you know, the car grandpa gave you when you graduated high school. It's a little beat up, you know, the tires are a little bald, but the engine needs work. So, you know, what do? Well, you don't put new tires on the car that, you know, you focus on the engine. And so for me, that was my focus. Is the day I got appointed, I started reaching out to anybody I knew that knew legislators or any legislators I knew. Then I would tell them, well, you know, I'm not just a comedian and musician. I'm also the chairman of the New Mexico Music Commission. And they were like, well, what is that? A lot of legislators didn't know that New Mexico had a music commission. So I took that opportunity to share with these legislators that, you know, 15 years ago, our governor had created a music commission, what our mission was, what our vision was. And, you know, little by little, I begin to get that idea in their mind. And, you know, the biggest issue is that we are a commission with no money. How do I go about getting a budget? And so, you know, I was quickly given an education on how that works. And I'm proud to say, you know, that our legislators came through. They gave the commission a budget. Last fiscal year was the first year that we had a budget, and now we're doing stuff with that money. And for me as a musician, what's near and dear to my heart is to impact the working musicians. We just got through COVID. Most musicians couldn't work. So I'm happy to say that I serve with 14 other commissioners who have the same vision of, as much as we can directly impact working musicians, we're going to do it. So I feel like if the Music Commission can help those organizations and entities pay musicians more for their services or hire them more often, that's what I'm after.
Thank you for explaining that, because I really appreciate the work that you're doing, but also the work that you're doing to, you know, bring these musicians, these bands, all this talent from all over the state that otherwise wouldn't have exposure, exposing them to different audiences. You know, I think that's a big deal. We like segued a little bit off of my main question. So I'm going to ask you, did you grow up in a religious household? I'm so curious as to what that looked like.
Well, I wouldn't say religious. You know, I was very young when my parents made me aware that there's more to me than just this life. And you know, while we weren't religious, you know, religion and spirituality often get confused. And you know, from my education, I've learned that, you know, the simplest way to differentiate the both is that, you know, religion is man reaching out to God. Spirituality is, you know, God making you aware that there's more to you than just this life. You know, not everybody feels that way, but I certainly do. I was very, very young when I felt, you know, in my heart and my spirit that there is more to this life than you know, being born, living for X amount of years, and then dying. I know that I was created by an intelligent, by God, and that there's more to me than, there's more for me than just this life. So that journey started quite early. We are probably one of the few families in northern New Mexico that, well, at least for myself, that didn't grow up Catholic. That's kind of different, you know, for somebody in northern New Mexico. But, you know, nonetheless, I realized at a young age that for me, you know, my testimony is that I do believe that that Jesus died for me, and I believe that he is the Son of God. You know, I came to that realization really early in my life, and it's helped me tremendously. I think it's kept me sane, I guess you could say. It certainly has given me parameters in which I can function, within which I can function, and, you know, be able to deal with the ups and downs of this life. I'll be the first to tell you, you know, I'm far from perfect. You know, any good you've heard divided by 10, and any bad, I would say you can multiply it by 100, and maybe you're there.
I was going to ask, and this is a little bit tongue in cheek, but don't you think a little bit of your wickedness is good for being a comedian?
Well, you know, tempered wickedness, maybe. but yeah, I mean, wickedness nonetheless. I acknowledge and thank God for his grace. And if anybody needs a double dose, it's me for sure.
Well, I would love to hear any stories or of magic or miracles, things that have happened in your life where you've either witnessed something or you've experienced something that maybe you can't explain, I have had everything from, you know, it's everything. Everything that I thought a miracle was is nothing. Like, nobody ever tells me the story of what I think a miracle is. It's always all these other things that people think miracles are. Not my idea, but they're all so beautiful and powerful. So I would love to hear if you have anything like that to share.
Well, you know, again, it just depends how you define a miracle. I think the older I get, the more miracles I experience, because I feel like I've become wiser. Sometimes a miracle for me is just getting through the day. And I know that's kind of, you know, low-hanging fruit when people think of miracles. Like, I never witnessed anything one way or the other. Like, I've never seen a ghost. I've never felt anything paranormal or extraterrestrial. I just feel like I've just been blessed with protection, I guess, one way or the other. You know, I've heard stuff at night and wondered what it is, but never have seen anything. I just recently, my girlfriend and I stayed at a Airbnb in Nashville, and we slept in the loft, and around 2 o'clock in the morning, we both distinctly heard footsteps. Like, just, you could not deny they were footsteps. And I turned to her and I said, "Did you hear that?" And she's like, "Yes, what is it?" And I said, "I don't know, but if I hear it again," I told her, "I'm going to run down, because I want to see." That's kind of my quest. Like, I want to see something. I've never seen anything. And sure enough, we heard it again. So I ran down this, like, really small spiral staircase, and I jumped. And there was nothing. But maybe that's a blessing in itself. I grew up thinking that miracles are for people who don't believe, because we believe by faith. And from what I understand, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, you know, if it takes a miracle for you to believe, then it's not faith anymore, because you've seen it. So faith is it's quite an exercise, you know. It's an exercise, because you have to you just have to accept what you don't see and feel or smell or touch. It's very much like patience. I used to pray for patience until I had to actually exercise it. But I can tell you that over the last 20 years, I have become way more patient, and it truly is a virtue.
I'm stuck on the fact that you ran towards the footsteps. I'm like stuck on that you went towards the footsteps. Did you ask the owner if their place is haunted?
Well, they have, you know, it's a super old cabin, you know, so I'm sure... we're not the first people there that have felt or witnessed anything. Prior to being a full-time entertainer, I was in construction. So sometimes you're working in, you know, late night. You have to work at night because it's a business or whatever, and they're open during the day. And I can tell you, I certainly have felt like somebody's looking at me. Every hair in the back of your neck stands up, but just have not seen anything, you know. It's one of those things, but I'm okay with it.
About you, but if I heard footsteps in an otherwise empty house, I would either hide under the covers or lock myself in a closet. Clearly, Carlos is made of stronger stuff. I need to thank this generous and multi-talented human being for taking the time out of his day to tell me some of his tales,
And I also need to thank the creators of the music used in this podcast: Frank Schroeder, Winnie the Moog, Taiga Sound Productions, Fat Sounds, and Stephen O'Brien. For complete attribution, please see the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to, of course, Carlos's cool music video, other artists' work, books, and things that I hope will lighten and brighten your day. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. If you're brave enough, be like Carlos. When you hear those footsteps in an empty house, or the hair rises on the back of your neck because you know, you just know, something is out there that is watching you, but you can't see it. If you're brave enough, be like Carlos and try to figure it out. Go towards it. But if not, you can be like me, and you can hide under the covers and pretend that it's not happening. I'll see you next week for episode 119. And until then, I hope the rest of this week is filled with beauty and some sort of cool new adventure that gets you seriously excited by life.